Can I have you do something with your Bibles tonight that if you have your smartphone, you can't do, so, or your dumb phone, whichever, what do you want to call it? Take your Bibles and open it up to Exodus chapter 25. I've got mine up on the pulpit here so you can see what I'm going to be doing. I'm opening it up to Exodus chapter 25, and then I want you to open it up to Exodus chapter 30, and then I just want you to have those pages in between your hands. So on my Bible, because my print is small, I have three pages that are between my hands. Between Exodus chapter 25 and Exodus chapter, actually between Exodus 25 and 31. So do you have that? Okay. As you're doing this, just look at chapter 25. That's where Moses is instructed about the furniture in the tabernacle. Across the page in mine is chapter 26, the curtains and the frame, and then chapter 27, as I'm still holding those pages up, I've got the court, and then chapters 28 and 29, we've covered about the custodians, that is the priests, their clothing and their consecration, and then chapter 30, which we have just finished on the incense altar, the laver, and other instructions about the anointing oil. So I've got these chapters in between. These are the instructions about the tabernacle. This is how God is saying, Moses, this is what I want you to build the tabernacle. Here's the furniture. Here's the plan. Here's what I want you to do. Question, where is Moses when God is instructing him to do this? Well, that's what we see in the previous chapter of 25. It's chapter 24. And so let's just read the last few verses of chapter 24. I had it that I was going to start in verse 9, so let's go back to verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount, and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and in his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. 25:1 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. And this is when God gives him the instructions concerning the tabernacle. So, you've got those instructions, chapters 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and chapter 30. Now the instructions are complete. The actual construction takes place between chapters 36 to 39. Instructions 25 to 30, actual construction 36 to 39. Well, how is this going to be executed? How is Moses going to do this? And so I want us to see two things tonight, the execution of the work and the enabling for the work. And we're going to find that in chapter 31. But let's look, first of all, at the execution of the work. And this is where the title of the message comes in, because it's kind of a weird title. You probably noticed that. Thou and They and the Tabernacle Construction. Thou and They and the Tabernacle Construction. I want you to see the word thou. Yes, T-H-O-U, thou. When we began our study of the tabernacle in chapter 25, we saw that God was speaking to whom alone? He's speaking to Moses alone. And so I want you to notice the singular pronouns thou, because it is a singular pronoun. God is speaking to Moses directly. And so if you're there in chapter 25, 23 times you're going to see the pronoun thou in chapter 25. And you get to the end of the chapter 25, and notice what it says. And look that, and we could always put Moses' name after thou. And look that thou, Moses, make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. So who's supposed to make these pieces of furniture? It's not a real hard question. Moses is. Okay? Then you get to chapter 26, and the word thou occurs 33 times. But I just want to take you to chapter 26 and verse 30. And thou, Moses, shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount. So not only is Moses supposed to make the furniture, he is supposed to set it up. Chapter 27, the word thou occurs 12 times. And I want to read 27:9. And thou shalt make the court of the tabernacle. So not only is he supposed to make the furniture, not only is he supposed to make the curtains, he is also supposed to make the court of the tabernacle. For the south side southward, there shall be hangings for the court of fine twined linen of 100 cubits long for one. So he is also supposed to make the court of the tabernacle. Chapter 28, and you'll see this in verses 1 and 2. And take thou, Moses, unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou, Moses, shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. So who's supposed to make the garments? Moses. You go to chapter 29, and this is where we saw the priests being anointed and the consecration of the priests. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 29, and this is the thing that thou, Moses, shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. So who's supposed to do this? Moses is supposed to do this. Are you getting tired of this exercise? Okay, then you get chapter 30, and 24 times the pronoun thou is used in chapter 30. By the way, how do you think I found out how many thous were in these chapters? Do you think I went through and counted each one? Go to your Strong's Concordance and look it up, and you won't find thou in the main part. You've got to go to the back where it uses words that occur a lot, and it doesn't write them out. It just says verse 20, 23, 24, and it's got a little two above that that says it's used two times in verse 24, and I went through and counted them. Knowing that the vows are, you know, as I read through it, they all refer to Moses. Somebody will probably catch me on one of those. Chapter 30, 24 times you see the word vow. Let's read verse 1, chapter 30. And thou, Moses, shalt make an altar to burn incense upon it. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. And then look at verse 18. Thou shalt also, Moses, make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash withal, and so forth. Thus, for everything that is to be made, Moses is to make it. I mean, it's very clear. Thou, Moses, you are to make it. But now, we said there's another pronoun we're going to be looking at. It's the pronoun they. So far, we're looking at Moses doing the building. But now, interspersed with the vows, you will find the word they just a few times. And that refers to all the people. Go back to chapters 25 to 27, and only two times in chapters 25, 26, and 27 will you find the word they referring to people. Now, sometimes it'll refer to, you know, the curtains, and God may refer to the curtains as they. The curtains they. But when it refers to people, just two times in chapters 25, 26, and 27. Look at chapter 25 and verse 10. And they shall make an ark. Wait a second, I thought Moses was supposed to make the ark. Now you see that they shall make an ark. Is this a serious contradiction in the Bible? Look at chapter 27 and verse 8. Hollow with boards, talking about the tabernacle altar, shalt thou make it, as was showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it. So it's Moses and they. Obviously, this is very clear what's happening. Moses is in charge. He's responsible. The people make it. Do you remember when we built this building? That's how we say it. Well, how many of you actually built the building? None of us did. I mean, a lot of us did a lot of the work here. A lot of work. And so we say, we built the building. That doesn't mean that you put the lights in and put the drywall up and did the painting. The majority of this building was made out to subcontractors. But we built it. And they built it. But Moses was the one in charge. You say, why? So what are we doing? Why are we even going into this? I'm trying to make a point here. And you're going to see what I'm going to be doing here in just a second. From the end, from chapter 28, verse 7, to the end of that chapter 28, the only they that has to do with construction is in 28:28. And yet when the construction is about to take place, Moses says this in chapter 35. Go to chapter 35 and look at verse 10. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord commanded. And you know what you won't find from chapter 35 through chapter 39 when they're actually doing construction? You won't find the word thou once. Who actually ends up building it? The people do. Who does God say is supposed to build it? Moses. And they. The construction of the tabernacle is being constructed by they. Then you get to chapter 40, last chapter of the book. Read with me as I begin with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the month, first month, shalt thou, Moses, set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Who's setting it up? Moses, but who's really setting it up? Who's really setting it up? But who's responsible for it to be set up? Moses is. And thou, Moses, shalt put the ark of the testimony, shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. And thou, Moses, shalt bring in the table and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And thou, Moses, shalt bring in the candlestick and light the lampstand. I'm going to keep adding the word Moses to really emphasize this. And thou, Moses, verse 5, shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou, Moses, shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou, Moses, shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar and shalt put water therein. And thou, Moses, shalt set up the court round about and hang up the hanging at the court gate. And thou, Moses, shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. And thou, Moses, shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all his vessels and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou, Moses, shalt anoint the laver and his foot and sanctify it. And thou, Moses, shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. And thou, Moses, shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments and anoint him and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou, Moses, shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats. And thou, Moses, shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus did whom? Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. Who's doing all this work? One man. It's been made clear who's doing it. But it is also made clear who God is instructing, who is ultimately responsible for the work that is to be done. And that man is Moses. There's no word they in this chapter referring to anybody doing any of this construction or setting up. Verse 17. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened his sockets and set up the boards thereof and put in the bars thereof and reared up his pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent above it as the Lord commanded Moses. What's he doing? He's doing what God's commanded him. Do you really think Moses is doing all this work? That is not even being communicated here. It's just saying Moses is ultimately responsible for what is taking place here. Verse 20, and he, singular Moses, took and put the testimony into the ark and set the staves on the ark and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he, Moses, brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering and covered the ark of the testimony as the Lord commanded Moses. By the way, as the Lord commanded Moses, that's the third time it's been said. It was said in verse 16, again in verse 19. And verse 21 and verse 22, and he, Moses, put the table in the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward without the veil. And he, Moses, set the bread in order upon it before the Lord as the Lord had commanded Moses. There's number four. And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps thereof before the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses. Five. Verse 26, and he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil, and he burnt sweet incense thereon as the Lord commanded Moses. There's six. And he set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle, and he put the altar of the burnt offering by the door. Man, this guy's busy. He put the altar, a burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle, the tent of the congregation, and offered upon the offering and the meat offering as the Lord commanded Moses. There's seven. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation with the, and all the people are just watching him, right? Where did I leave off? Verse 30, and he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar and put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat when they went into the tent of the congregation. And when they came near unto the altar, they washed, here again, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he, Moses, reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So who finished the work? What a busy man. Everybody else just watched him and said, you know, we'll give money. Well, you know, as long as you do the work. That's not what is being said here, folks. And you know that. I mean, I have heightened, it's kind of a hyperbole what I'm using here tonight by saying Moses is doing this and Moses, he's not. He's ultimately responsible. That's why it keeps saying that Moses did this. How did Moses do this? He's saying, Bezalel, this, over to there. And he probably has to give Bezalel the instructions one time. Chapter 31, Bezalel, Moses delegates to Bezalel. And Aholiab, chapter 31. And then others are mentioned where they're doing the work. Who's doing the setting up? Bezalel, Aholiab, and all these people are doing the work, but Moses did it. Why? Because God had given him the instructions. He is the one responsible for this. Now back to chapter 31. This is our text tonight. We've gone all around it to really show ourselves something. And here's what God says in chapter 31 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I love that word. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the spirit of God and wisdom and an understanding and a knowledge and all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. Who's going to do the work? Who's going to be the construction manager here? Bezalel. Verse 6. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab. Oh, I can never say this word. I need to get used to it. Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I commanded thee. Who's doing the making here? These men and all the people in whom God has put the spirit to do the work. I would say Moses probably never once did anything. I mean, we picture him as putting together the ephod with the 12 stones and, oh, it fell out again. No, that's not Moses. He's not the one doing it. God has given special men who know what they're doing to be doing the work. Does anybody know where I'm going with this? I think you do. Who actually did the making? The theys, beginning in 31:3, who God has filled with wisdom. And we read in the last part of verse 6 of 31 that they may make all that I have commanded thee. And then it's summarized in verse 11. According to all that I have commanded thee, shall who do? They shall do. Thus, for everything that is to be made, Moses is to make it. How? Through they. Does the throwing out of all these pronouns confuse you? I don't think so. I think you're getting it. Here's the point. Upon whom is the pressure for the construction of the tabernacle and its furniture? With whom does the buck stop? Moses. So let me ask you something. What do you think Moses would do if any one of the theys did not do what they were supposed to? He's responsible. What do you think Moses would do? What do you think Moses would do if those who did not do what they said they would do and did not do it? What do you think Moses would do if those like Bezalel and Haloab, if they did not do correctly according to the pattern that Moses had seen on the mount? If they just kind of skimped a little bit and said, well, this really isn't that important. We could put a little brass in here with this gold and, you know, it kind of looks the same color and who's going to notice it? If you put it underneath, you know, the mercy seat, nobody's ever going to notice this. Who's responsible? So Moses is responsible. What do you think he's going to do if some guy, Bezalel, starts cutting corners? What do you think Moses would do if the people did not do willingly what they were supposed to do? Is there any application for a church in here? That God has called to do his work? Who is ultimately responsible in a church? And so, since the pastor is, people love to stand around and watch him work. That's true in a lot of cases. We know the pastor is responsible because you see what Jesus is writing, having written to the seven churches in Asia, and every one of those letters is addressed to the pastor. He's called an angel, by the way. Angelos, messenger, he's the pastor. Why? Because he's ultimately responsible. So, what should the pastor do when any one of the theys don't do what they were called to do? What's he supposed to do? Well, he's supposed to be nice. What do you think the pastor is supposed to do when those who said they would do something don't do what they said they would do? And you know, do you know who people come to in a church when something's not been done? Who do you think they talk to? Hello, help me out. Who do they come? They come to me. Like I'm supposed to do it now. And you know what happens, folks? Many times I end up doing it because the person who said he was going to do it didn't do it. What's the theme for this year? Faith on wise stewards of God's truth, those who do what they say. Why do you think I had that theme? And it just so happened, providentially, that this chapter came up in our study. I haven't been planning this for years, you know. What's the pastor's? What am I supposed to do when people don't do correctly what they were supposed to do? What am I supposed to do when people don't do on time what they were supposed to do? They, Bezalel, Aholiab, and all these people were headed up by men that God had appointed. Actually, Bezalel and Oholiab were the men that God had appointed to help Moses, and say, okay, now these two men, I have given them the wisdom. And you know what Moses could do? You guys, I've given you the pattern. Now do it. And he could trust him. Again, what does God say to Moses in 31:2? See, I have called. I'm sure by that time, Moses on the mount's going, wow, I thought I was going to have to do all this. And then you go to chapter 35. Notice what is said in chapter 35 and look at verse 30 when the construction is about to begin. Moses rephrases what God had told him. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, here it is again. There's that word, see. I love that word, see. The Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God and so forth. And then again, he mentions Oholiab in verse 34. See, God has called them. God calls specific men by name to head up this work. Because spirit filling was something God did on an individual basis in the Old Testament. In that dispensation, we're talking about dispensations. In that dispensation, God would put his spirit upon somebody and they would begin to do the work. And that's exactly what it says here. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. That's how Bezalel could take those instructions that Moses had given him and build something that was fantastically beautiful. And right in line with what God had told him to do. Because see, I have called him. Here in our New Testament dispensation, every believer is indwelt by the Spirit. And now we have the church, which began on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came in and dwelt every believer. Who does the appointing then of those who will head things up? Well, let's just look at one example in Acts chapter 6 where the first deacons are appointed. Acts chapter 6. Because of what was taking place among the widows of the Grecians were being neglected. And then the 12 apostles in verse 2 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out. There's that same idea. Like God was telling Moses, see what I've done? And what Moses told the servants, see, God is appointed. Now, look ye out. Who's supposed to do the looking out here? Who's supposed to be looking out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business? Who's supposed to look them out? You. You look out among you, and here it was seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who may appoint over this business? The apostles, so that they may continue emphasizing study of the word and prayer. What happens when the men and the people in a church don't do what they're supposed to do and the pastor has to do it? The study and the prayer suffers. Who's accountable? It's the people who didn't do what they were supposed to do. Yet every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So when it comes down to it, every believer should be doing the work of a deacon in regards to the gift he has. I'm going to remind you of something we discussed in the adult Bible class. Some of you aren't in the adult Bible class, so this may be new to you. There are no commands in the scripture for you to discover your spiritual gift. Do you remember this? However, you are commanded to use your spiritual gift. Well, I don't know what mine is. How do you find out what your spiritual gift is? Do them all. Practice every one of the gifts. Because we noted that every believer is commanded to do every one of the spiritual gifts. but you will find that you excel in one of them, at least one of them. That's how you know that is the gift the Holy Spirit has given me, and it may be more than one. Remember what it said in 1 Peter? What it says in 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister. There's the word deaconing. I don't know if you remember this. Every member is deaconing. Every member is ministering the same one to another as good stewards or managers of the manifold grace of God. God does not require Moses or Israel to do what was impossible. God does not require us to do that which is impossible for us to do. His Holy Spirit has given gifts to every believer. A believer's talents, a believer's abilities are the means by which God practices the gift given him by the Holy Spirit. But you know what? The task does seem impossible when those who have been appointed to do what they were supposed to do don't do what they were supposed to do. So here's the problem that sometimes exists in some people's minds. And you may say this is hyperbolic. But some people think the pastor is supposed to do everything. If Moses had done everything here, he would not have lived to 120. I'll guarantee you that. God never intended for Moses to do everything. And he never intended for the pastor or an assistant pastor to do everything. God intends for everybody in the church to do everything. Well, he's the one who's called, and you're pointing at me. Well, that's as unscriptural as the children of Israel thinking that Moses by himself was supposed to build the tabernacle and its furniture. I mean, picture that. Moses building everything. Then somehow he's setting it up. I mean, these skins, these animal skins weigh, that's a lot of weight. And all the people are out there in their chairs and sipping their, you know, Cokes and watching Moses go to town out there. Oh, you missed something, you know. And we look at that and we say, that's ridiculous. It is. And that's not what God ever intended. And you say, well, God specified by name Bezalel and Aholiab so that they are supposed to do the work along with Moses. Yes, but then again in verse 30, chapter 31, verse 6, God says, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom. In the hearts of all. Now, back then, the Spirit of God was put upon certain people to do the work. The Spirit of God is upon how many of you? How many of you have the Spirit of God? If you're a believer, he indwells you. So that applies to you. That's parallel to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, as every man hath received the gift. I'm not going to get to my second point. I'm just going to talk about the execution of the work tonight. And that's where we're going to end. Next time, the enabling for the work. How is this going to take place? And I've already touched upon it somewhat. But folks, my challenge to you tonight is this. God has called all of us to serve together, to serve one another. Hey, we need help in the nursery. All that such and such. No! All of us! Everybody! Don't think you are an exception. You know what would be kind of an interesting little study is to pass a piece of paper out and have every member's name on that, have every member's name on that piece of paper, and have other members write down for every name what that person does at Westside. What would you be listed as doing? You would find that a few people do most of the work. Now, I'm talking about physical work, but I want to include something else here. The discipling, the calling of people. Everybody expects me to call every. I can't do it. I cannot do it. And invest the study time and the prayer time and do justice to either one. So it's one another. Love. Think about the one another's in the Bible, loving one another, provoking one another to love and to good works by the assembling of yourselves together. So I hope this example tonight helps. It may have been quite pointed to you saying, wow. Yeah, so be it. Sometimes, you wouldn't believe how often pastors want to be more pointed, but they have to hold back. Because I can start calling names tonight. I'm kidding. I'm just saying, all of us need to do the work. And it shouldn't be this, it ought to be with joy. So don't rely upon just a few people to do the nominating. Well, I'm sure somebody else will nominate him. Well, why don't you do it? Maybe somebody else won't nominate him. If you really believe that somebody needs to be nominated for something, then nominate him. But let me challenge you something. If you do any nominating and you get nominated, why do you think you can nominate and not be nominated and accept the nomination? Didn't hear any amens on that one. I don't like fishing for amens, but I'm just saying, think about that. We are willing to put somebody else to work because we see in them what we would like them to do so I don't have to. And then when this was built, boy, you get to chapter 40. Then a cloud covered the tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Something that men built, something that men constructed. And the glory of God was in there because they had done what God wanted them to do. Father, I pray that we too would do the work that you've called us to do, namely, that we shall be witnesses. You have sent us out to be witnesses into this whole world. May we start right here in our Jerusalem. You have said, go and make disciples of all nations. Lord, you have told us to exhort one another. Pray that we would do that. Lord, the physical part of this property we know is a testimony, yet that is not even the most important. We know that the most important is the spiritual, and yet we know that when the world looks at it, they don't see the spiritual, they see the physical and the testimony that that portrays. And I pray that that would be something that would speak highly of you. So Lord, I pray that we would be burdened to do the work that you've called each of us to do. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.